Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because truth matters. To get on today's program, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
And we're going to go to callers a little later on in the broadcast, but I want to spend a little time talking to my guest, Dr. Jay Richards, who is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, an author of, most recently, a book titled God and Evolution, also co-author of a book and a DVD that I'm absolutely in love with. It's called The Privileged Planet. Dr. Jay Richard has also written a very important article for the Christian Research Journal titled Deflating Darwinism. And the reason that I am particularly interested in people reading this article is that under the banner of theistic evolution, a growing number of Christians maintain that God used evolution as his method for creation. And that, in my estimation, is the worst of all possibilities. It's one thing to say you believe in evolution. It's quite another to blame God for it. The biblical account of creation specifically says that God created living creatures according to their own kinds. And while scripture and science allow for microevolution, they do not allow for macroevolution. In other words, there's no possibility for amoebas evolving into apes and then apes evolving into astronauts. Evolution is cruel. It's inefficient. It's a horrible process against which our whole modern ethics should revolt. It's a contradiction in terms. God can no more direct an undirected process than he can create a squared circle. And yet, this is precisely what theistic evolution presupposes. So while evolution is fighting for its life, we shouldn't be propping it up with theories like theistic evolution. Instead, we as Christians should be on the vanguard of demonstrating that evolution is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. And again, the reason why we are featuring a summary critique of a book like Darwinism and the Divine by Dr. Alistair McGrath is because he is a prolific theologian, maybe the most prolific theologian in the English-speaking world. So we have to be familiar with his arguments, and no one has dealt with the arguments more effectively, in my estimation, than Dr. Jay Richards, and he joins me now right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Good to have you on the broadcast.
Thanks, Hank. Great to be with you.
This is an incredible article, and I want to just read the last sentence or so of the article and have you comment. Mm-hmm. You say that the book by Alistair McGrath provides a snapshot of a depressing moment in time where you have a leading, well-informed scholar who knows that Darwin's mechanism can't do what Darwin insists it could do, and yet he, while admitting this in print, feels a need to engage the obscure philosophical gymnastics in order to accommodate a dead theory. And that is the power, you say, of an intellectual orthodoxy that we can only hope will soon find its death, a death it richly deserves.
Well, you know, it's funny, Hank, because as you mentioned, there's this widespread movement among Christians that we can call theistic evolution, but it's more precisely, really, it's theistic Darwinism. It's an attempt to take up the Darwinian theory of evolution, which claims that, you know, all of life's adaptations are a result of random genetic mutations and natural selection, so a blind and purposeless process. Well, of course, if you're an atheist, you've got to believe something like that. The question is, if you think God created the world and providentially orders the world, it really makes no sense to say, as you said, that God guides an unguided or purposeless process. And so what I found in McGrath's recent book, Darwinism and the Divine, I think it's probably the most sophisticated current statement of this theistic evolutionary perspective. And what sets it apart in many ways from books by, say, people like Francis Collins, is that McGrath, he's a really smart guy. He's got a PhD in molecular biophysics and a PhD in theology, and he actually knows the gig is up in Darwinism, right? You know, if you read the book from cover to cover, one place he says it's widely conceded that natural selection does not account for how biological forms and phenotypes arise in the first place. So in other words, Darwin's mechanism doesn't account for the thing that Darwin wanted it to account for. So on the one hand, McGrath admits that, you know, the power of natural selection is actually really, really limited. We know this scientifically. On the other hand, he develops this very complicated understanding of purpose and teleology, which he thinks will more or less account for and accommodate Darwinism. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to accommodate a theory that you actually think is found wanting on scientific grounds.
One of the things that I have recognized of late, Jay, is that people in the Christian community seem to be gradually moving into this theistic evolution paradigm. Even in the GOP debate, we hear people talking about evolution, and we can't walk away from evolution because if we're those that no longer believe in evolution, then we're anti-science.
I mean, of course, this happened with, you know, sort of liberal theologians a century ago. What's different now, as you suggest, is that this is generally Orthodox and conservative Christians that are talking this way. Now, my experience is that when you really press people, it turns out they often have a kind of foggy idea of what evolution is. You know, sometimes people just think evolution is, well, things changed over time, and there's some animals that were alive at one time that aren't alive now, or something really vague like that. Or maybe they imagine that there's this process of common descent and God is specifically guiding things. I have problems with that view, but that's not logically incoherent. But what people need to understand is that the current sort of reigning theory of evolution in biology is Darwinian evolution, and is it makes absolutely no room for purposes or design or for God to do anything. It is a blind and purposeless process, and so it's fundamentally incompatible with the Christian worldview. I mean, one or the other at most can be true, but not both. And so that's really what I want people to focus on, is just the logical incompatibility of blind Darwinism in any kind of robust theism.
So the question has to be why people like John Huntsman in the debate, mm-hmm. or why even Alistair McGrath goes to such lengths to accommodate a theory that they have to know has been profoundly oversold, as you point out in the article.
Yeah, I mean, and McGrath even admits that. He's almost alone among the theistic evolutionists in putting that in print. But I really think it's because of its status as an intellectual orthodoxy. We need to sort of look at the way in which ideas function sociologically. At any time, in any period of history, there's some intellectual orthodoxy that people feel social pressure to accept, whether they know it's true or not. Later we find out it was wrong, but, you know, when you're in the middle of the intellectual orthodoxy, it's very hard to resist that social pressure, and I think that's what we're dealing with Darwinism. It's sort of the litmus test that determines whether a person's intellectually respectable or not, and if you know, I call it the cocktail party test. It's like the thing you're not allowed to raise at cocktail parties or everybody goes quiet, but the truth of the matter is the real task of discernment is to recognize the intellectual orthodoxy that you're currently in and to figure out what's wrong with it and to be willing, frankly, to challenge it publicly.
Now, this may require some defining of terms, but what's the real difference between teleology in a genuine sense and the Darwinian substitute?
Well, that's the crucial point, because McGrath wants to talk about Darwinism as if it's teleological. And teleology just means a process that's purposive, that has some, you know, goal or end direction to it. And if you read Darwin, he's constantly talking about natural selection, if it's choosing certain things and sifting this and sifting that. So in other words, Darwin uses teleological language, but it's clear that his goal in his theory was not to develop a teleological view of biology, but basically to provide a blind mechanism that would explain away what looked teleological in biology. So in other words, there's things that look designed. There's an apparent design, Darwin thought, in biology that needed to be explained. What he wanted to do is come up with a purely materialistic mechanism that would explain it away. And the way you can really test the difference between real teleology or design and a fake substitute is this issue of foresight. Intelligent agents have exclusive jurisdiction when it comes to foresight, right? You know, we can think about a house or a structure that we would want to produce, and then we can bring it about. Natural selection and random variation is not like that. It can't say in a biological world, I'm going to hold on to 10 proteins for a few million years until I get a sort of functioning molecule. It doesn't have foresight, and so all it can do is select for current functional advantage. And that's how you can tell that Darwinism, at its core, is anti-teleological rather than teleological, because it doesn't make room for this idea of foresight, of planning ahead.
Talking to Jay Richards, he is the article of a summary critique of a very important book written by a very important author, Alistair McGrath. Many of you are not going to read the book. It's titled Darwinism and the Divine, but the article will enlighten you as to what's going on. And we as Christians need to be informed. The Christian Research Journal is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It is a subscription magazine. You can order online at equip.org. I want to press something as we go on with this conversation, Jay, and that is many people aren't going to believe that someone like Alistair McGrath actually admits that Darwinism can't do what it promises to do.
Well, you know what's funny? I mean, McGrath officially at least sort of makes his living as a theologian, but he is trained in biology and highly trained. But it's sort of the trade secret in biology that when biologists, when the camera's not on and the reporter doesn't have his microphone on, lots of well-informed biologists will admit that Darwin's mechanism, natural selection and random variation, are in fact very limited. It can explain some little tweaks around the edges, like the thickness of finch beaks and things like that. But many, many biologists will admit privately that you need something else to really explain the origin of fundamental biological forms. But Darwin's theory carries huge metaphysical water for people, and so biologists typically will not admit that publicly. So frankly, this is something I praise McGrath for, at least in his book several times. He quite explicitly makes that point. And so while I feel like he sort of buckled under to the intellectual orthodoxy of Darwinism in the end, at least he has put in print what a lot of biologists know but are not willing to state publicly, which is that, you know, the power of the Darwinian mechanism is known to be extremely limited.
The ID movement has certainly gotten a lot of traction, the intelligent design movement. Why is it that someone like Alistair McGrath pays almost no mind to the intelligent design movement in his book?
Well, that's what's strange about the book. Of course, I mean, McGrath can write two or three books a year, so he's obviously a speed reader, and yet, you know, the only actual quote that he has from anyone in the ID community is from this obscure little article written by Phil Johnson back in 1993. And so I can assume it's not like over in the UK they don't have our books. It's that I think he recognizes that this is sort of like the third rail of the science-theology dialogue. You don't want to talk about intelligent design, and you don't want to totally break with the Darwinian paradigm. And so that's the only thing I can understand, because if a person reads McGrath's book, he talks about this philosophical idea of an inference to the best explanation as a way of understanding natural theology. And anybody that reads the ID literature knows that many of us understand design arguments in exactly the same way. So there's actually a lot of commonalities between what McGrath does and what a lot of ID folks do. But ID is just, you know, because everybody knows that intelligent design, if it does anything, is it critiques materialism and it critiques Darwinism. And so for him to quote ID positively and approvingly, I think he realizes would be a bridge too far with the sort of those who judge what respectable opinion must be.
Jay Richards, he is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, and again, most recently, he is the author of God and Evolution, and then, as mentioned previously, The Privileged Planet. Really appreciate your article in the Christian Research Journal, and love having you on the broadcast.
Thanks so much, Hank.
Thank you so much for being with us for the article. Again, this is an important article to read. The Christian Research Journal is dealing with cutting-edge stuff, and that's why we encourage people to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal so that you can be equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And when we deal with issues like this, do remember we're not just dealing with a apologetic issue. We are dealing with the apologetic issue. How one views their origins will inevitably determine how they live their life. If you think you're a function of random chance, if you believe that you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know that you are created in the image of God and accountable to Him. The Christian Research Journal, you can subscribe to it today, and I really urge you to do that. Maybe the best kept secret in the Christian world. It is an award-winning magazine. The graphics are stunning, the content reliable, and you can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And also write me at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can pick up your telephone, talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. When we resume the broadcast today, we will start taking your calls right here. The number to dial to get your question answered on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And remember to continue praying for an organization that is touching lives literally around the globe by God's grace. We'll be right back with answers to your questions.
The Christian Research Journal is a one-of-a-kind magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with trustworthy content you can depend on. Get a biblical perspective on current events, religious movements, and cultural trends, and gain the discernment skills you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity, the Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flip Chart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth in love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. or go online to equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues: origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
And we're going to go right back to the phone callers in just a moment. Do want to mention that we now have available a couple more resources on MP3 download. One is The Prayer of Jesus. And again, this is a very important book to reinvigorate your prayer life. If most of us are honest with ourselves, we rush into prayer just like we engage in other activities. And before our knees have ever hit the ground, we're already thinking about rushing back into our frenzied lifestyle. So we treat God no better than we treat our most treasured relationships. We want intimacy without the investment of quality of time. The Prayer of Jesus teaches you how to build intimacy with the lover of your soul. And then The Covering, also now available MP3 download. And The Covering is a very significant book because it teaches you about spiritual warfare. And if you put on the full armor of God, or the covering as I like to call it, you are invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you are a guaranteed casualty. And then The Apocalypse Code, of course, also now available on MP3 download. So check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We will go right back to our phone callers. And we'll start with Richard in North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Richard.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I had a question about Psalm 119.
Yep.
And, I'm looking in my Bible here, and before Psalm 119, it has a, before it starts, it has a Hebrew word. It says Aleph, and in between a lot of the, throughout the whole Psalm, it has all these Hebrew words. I just want to know what they meant.
Yeah, they're the letters of the alphabet, and so what you have here is a Hebrew alphabetic acrostic poem. And what's cool about it is each line of each subsection begins with the specific Hebrew letter of its subheading. So it's not just the actual subpart of the psalm, but each line of the subpart starts with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it is a very cool acrostic, a mnemonic device. And this is something that I think we should emphasize more as we talk about the Bible. The Bible was written in an oral culture. Post-Gutenberg, and certainly now since Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, we are people of the printed page. But not so in an oral culture. In an oral culture, people learn to memorize things, and therefore the sages would present material in a memorable format so that people could not only hear but internalize the information. You see that with Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. You certainly see it with the Psalms, as you just point out, with this acrostic alphabet. But you also see this at the very beginning of the Bible with the book of Genesis, where Moses lays out his whole historical narrative in such a way that you can remember it with the 10 fingers of your hands. So the Bible presents information in memorable format, and that ought to be a real clue. Jesus told people that they should let the words sink into their ears, or Moses would tell people that we should talk to our children about them when we're walking along the road, when we lie down, when we get up. We should tie them as symbols to our fingers. We should tie them to our foreheads. We should write them on our door frames and on the gates of our homes so that we would not forget. And so this is a great reminder, again, that the Bible is presented in such a way that we can not only read it, but we can remember it.
Amen. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tony, listening in Missouri on Butt Radio. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Hank. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Nice to talk to you.
I just had a quick question. Our church is considering doing what's, I guess, considered a replant through Harvest Bible Chapel, headed up by James McDonald. I was just curious of your opinion of Harvest Bible Chapel and if you had any experience with him in the past.
Yeah, I got a very high opinion of James McDonald. I've had him on the broadcast before. The only thing I don't like about him is that he is a better putter than I am. Other than that, I like James McDonald a lot.
Good. Our church is essentially kind of fallen apart over just some unfortunate circumstances that have happened. We are a fairly young church to begin with. We are maybe 4 or 5 years old, and we're down to about 15 to 19 people, and so we're really heavily considering and praying very strongly for God's guidance and wanting to see if they'll do a replant of our church here in Fulton. So
yeah,
so
well, I think
for that'd be amazing.
Well, yeah, I sure will. And look, I think Pastor McDonald would be a great source of comfort and direction in your transition.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. I want to talk to Greg. Greg is listening in Missouri. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I overheard you speaking with Dr. Richards regarding Alistair McGrath and his theistic evolutionary views.
Yeah.
And in a book that he wrote, The Dawkins Delusion, you know, he refutes Richard Dawkins in this particular book.
Yeah.
He does mention the issue of the God and the gaps issue or thinking regarding North American apologetics when it tries to address issues of science. Can you just share a little bit about what is the God in the gaps? What is he talking about there, and why is that such an issue for him?
For Alistair McGrath or who?
For Alistair McGrath.
Well, I think probably what would be helpful is for you to read the article that we're talking about with Jay Richards in this regard. But in general, the problem that we were discussing at the very beginning of the broadcast is that so many people are retreating into theistic evolution when it's the worst of all possibilities. The reason being is that evolution is a low-grade hypothesis that doesn't correspond to reality. And we're pointing out that the problem essentially is that even though it doesn't correspond to reality, somehow or other, people are trying to, in the interest of scientific orthodoxy, hold on to a theory that's utterly discredited. And then we have to presume ideas like God of the gaps, which I don't think is particularly helpful.
I completely agree with you and Jay Richards. I disagree with Alistair McGrath's views, particularly on this issue. Anyway, he's a great theologian, by the way. I really appreciate a lot of what he has written over the years. But this issue, obviously, he's taking a little bit of a left turn. But I was just curious about the God of the gaps issue, because he seems to really favor scientific research over time, and that, you know, whenever Christians find some kind of a gap where science doesn't explain something, then we revert to, you know, God and some, and maybe in his view.
Well, and that's the idea of God of the gaps, isn't it? I mean, if a theist doesn't know something about the material world, then they say God did it. But that's
right.
Not really what's going on. We're
right.
I mean, we start with the presupposition that nothing cannot create everything, and therefore there has to be an uncaused first cause. As Christians or theists, we're open-minded, and therefore we're saying that we have to allow for both natural and supernatural explanations for that which we encounter in the real world. So if you look at an effect like the universe, there has to be a cause equal to or greater than that effect. And in a Christian worldview, we say that is God. God spoke and the universe leapt into existence. And we not only have a cumulative case that we can build for the creation model for origins, but we can also build a cumulative case for the idea that the God who revealed himself in creation also revealed himself in time and space in the personal work of Jesus Christ, and that he ultimately performed the supernatural in raising himself from the dead. So he had the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again, thus demonstrating that he is God. So again, this is not just some way of a God of the gaps theory kind of covering what we can't explain. No, we're building a defensible case for a biblical worldview. First, that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, and then, as my latest book explains, that the Bible is divine as opposed to being merely human in origin. But Darwinists commit the fallacy of science of the gaps. They think that purely material processes can explain everything, and they're so bent on it that even when their paradigm doesn't fit the facts, their desire to be orthodox with respect to evolution forces them to try to explain mind, design, irreducible complexity by the evolutionary paradigm.
Yeah. Well, Hank, thank you so much. I appreciate your commitment to the scriptures, and but also your willingness to, to science at some level, at least seeing the value of empiricism as, you know, as it relates to supporting a biblical worldview. Thank you very much.
You got it. Appreciate your call. And do remember, the ministry of the Christian Research Institute is a ministry that is able to do what we do, whether it's the articles we have in the Christian Research Journal or what you find at equip.org or the answers you get on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the primary research that's done in general, the ministries we have around the globe. They're all possible because there are people who love the truth. We do what we do because truth matters, and we need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. There's a couple of things I want to mention as we go to break. I've mentioned them on the broadcast before, and many people respond to this, so it's worth mentioning again. And that is, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition or my latest book, Has God Spoken? You can choose. Also, if you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, which is a foundational group to this ministry, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book or Has God Spoken, my latest book. So you can check these offers out. You can join online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. You see all the information there. Or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28278. Of course, you can pick up the telephone as well, 888-7000, CRI 3 options. And we'll be right back with more answers to your questions. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today.
Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Since the advent of the internet, pornography has been influencing and shaping assumptions about identity, sexuality, the value of women, and the nature of relationships. Yet little discussion has focused on the neurobiological aspects of its allure, addictive properties, and long-lasting effects. Dr. William Struthers treats this provocative subject with candor and clarity in his article, The Effects of Porn on the Male Brain. Other topics include Dr. J. Richards' feature-length summary critique of Alistair McGrath's new book, Darwin and the Divine. Steve Gregg writes on the obligation of blessing Abraham's seed, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. At the Christian Research Institute, we exist to equip you to fully understand your faith so you can defend it against the many voices of skepticism and doubt so prevalent in today's world. But we hope you know that only God's provision through friends like you makes this possible. We're completely listener-supported, so every life-changing resource is a gift from someone like you. One of those resources we'd like to send you is Hank Hanegraaff's latest flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage. In an easy-to-remember format, Hank exposes the radical differences between the teachings of Mormonism and essential Christian doctrine. To receive your copy of the Mormon Mirage flip chart and help support the work of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And with Mormonism in the spotlight because of men like John Huntsman or like Mitt Romney, I think it is ever more important for Christians who truly love their Mormon neighbors to be able to discern between the errors of Mormonism and the truth of Christianity. We have to be able to communicate the essential Christian doctrines that separate Mormonism from genuine belief in Orthodox Christianity. And to help you grasp the differences, I've organized them around the memorable acronym Mormon. So as you read It's crucial to keep in mind the Apostle Paul's instruction to speak the truth in love. But we must speak the truth in love. There's a reason that you have Moroni on the top of the steeples of Mormon temples and not a cross. And you should know what that reason is. You should know that the Bible is rooted in history and evidence, the Book of Mormon in a fertile and enterprising imagination. Memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage, a 4x6 laminated flip chart available for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you don't have it, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or, again, here's the phone number, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David, listening in Arizona on the web. Hi, David.
Hi. Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Thanks. I'm pretty good. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
So me and my wife had the privilege of having this great dog for the last 7 years, just an excellent animal. He developed some cancer, and it was just dragging out, and really just we ended up euthanizing. So I'm just curious what's a biblical position on euthanization of animals? And I know that they can be referred to as souls. And at the same time, I understand that you know, the salvation that Christ offers was not offered to the animals. So,
well, I think it's important to realize that the souls of animals are qualitatively different from the souls of human beings, but they are part of God's avant-garde creation. And therefore, there's no absolute certainty that people can have that they will not inherit the new heavens and the new earth. Because if you think about it, what is that? Paradise lost becomes paradise restored. In paradise lost, there were animals, so there's reason to believe that there'll be animals in paradise restored. Now, we don't know that petted pets are going to be restored in the new heavens and the new earth, but we also do not know that they won't be. That's an open question. So I think the principle in terms of euthanasia with pets is human beings like you and your wife have dominion over animals. And as having dominion over animals, and as you expressed in the prologue to your question, a whole lot of love for this particular animal, you want to do what is right. As a human being, you have to make that judgment. But in making that judgment, you have to follow the principles of a biblical worldview, and thus you would never mistreat the animal. So you looked at this situation critically and carefully and did what you felt was best and most humane for the animal in the particular condition that the animal was at that particular state. And I certainly would not say anything against what you've done.
Okay. Well, that's comforting. yeah, he was, you know, I know that a lot of folks will say that animals just have instinct, but I don't know. I know that even C.S. Lewis mentioned it a little bit, and I think I've heard you speak about it before, that, you know, it's certainly a hope to have some of our animals with us in the kingdom, but that's what I would hope. But he was a person. I mean, there's no question. He didn't just have instinct. He was so smart. But really appreciate your answer, Hank, and thanks a lot.
You got it. And I have written about this subject in a book called Resurrection, in which I point out the distinction between animal souls and human souls. It wasn't until the Enlightenment that people didn't think animals had souls at all. So the idea of animal souls is certainly consistent with a biblical worldview, although, as I point out in my book Resurrection, there is a qualitative difference between an animal soul and a human soul. And will God resurrect animals? We don't know whether petted pets will be in heaven, a question I also address in my book Resurrection, but we also cannot be certain that they will not be. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Greg, listening in Missouri. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Okay, I turned on the TV earlier, and the last thing I hear this minister say is, I don't sin because I'm dead to it, and I don't have to. And then I hear Joseph Prince come on, and he's talking about how 1 John 1:9 is not relevant for Christians because it was really written to to Jews, because Paul, in all of his epistles, never said one word about having to confess your sins in order to have maintain fellowship with God. So there you go, Hank. Help me out.
Well, when you see Joseph Prince, you should flip the channel quickly. I mean, you can get a muddy mixture of every now and then a tidbit that's helpful, but most of all, you've got so much nonsense. He's classically involved in the Word of Faith movement, and he makes outrageous statements. You just mentioned one of them. It is outrageous to suggest that 1 John 1 does not apply to Christians. Yes, we must confess our sins. This is communicated to us over and over again in the Bible. It's not because we're not positionally declared righteous before God, but it is because we want to maintain our communion with God, and an unconfessed sin is a barrier. Jesus Christ makes plain in the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, that we are to confess our sins. And if we do, we can find, as John points out, that God is just, He's righteous, He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But again, Joseph Smith is into the Word of Faith theology. He misdefines terms. Faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, you create your own reality. Works well for him, but it doesn't work well in the real world, because biblically, faith is not something that is a force you muster up. Faith is a channel of living trust between a person and their God, and thus faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. I wrote about that in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Do not fall for the tele-evangelists. All too often, they are communicating nonsense. What has happened to our culture is pop culture beckons, postmodern Christians take the bait. It is a sad, sad demonstration of where we have gone wrong as a culture. We are following the culture as opposed to conforming the culture. I want to go to Belinda, and next, she's listening in Missouri. Hi, Belinda.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I pray for blessings for you and your family and your ministry. It's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, here's my question. I am possibly facing the loss of my job, and that's, needless to say, hit me pretty hard. So in an effort not to panic, I've been clinging to some scriptures, in particular Jeremiah 29:11 and Romans 8:28. And my question, because I listen to you a lot, is I want to make sure I'm not taking those out of context and that those scriptures do apply to us today equally like they did back in biblical times.
Yeah, well, Romans 8:28 is a classic case in point. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. That applies to you. Jeremiah 29 was a letter that was written to exiles, and therefore it was not written to you. However, it was written for you, and in that sense it applies to you as well. And therefore, I think you can justly say that God knows the plans He has for you and that His plans are to prosper you. That does not mean necessarily materially, but it means that He will give you satisfaction and peace in the midst of the storm, and that He has plans to give you hope, and He has plans to give you a future. You are worthwhile in His sight, not just for eternity, although that's preeminent, but for time as well. He cares about every detail of your life, Belinda. There's not a hair on your head that He doesn't know about. Last night I was praying with my youngest son before he went to bed, and that was one of the things that I thought was so moving is he started praying, "Lord, You know every hair's on my head," or something like that. And he was, and it was so sweet. And he says, "You know, You care for me," and he went on and on. But I thought that was a classic example of a child explaining what is absolutely true. Our hairs are numbered, and that has correspondence to a biblical worldview. God knows every detail of our lives. And so, yeah, He cares about everything you're going through. And you know, when you go through the deepest, darkest part of life, you have God not just walking beside you, but carrying you as a shepherd carries a lamb. So I would take great hope and encouragement from the words of Jeremiah to people who are in exile. You know, they were looking from the dusty environs of Babylon back at what they had lost. They had lost their home. They had lost their homeland. They had lost their temple. And it looked like all was lost. And yet, here Jeremiah says, God has not forgotten you. You have a hope and a future. And if that applies to the exiles and dusty Babylon, it certainly applies to you.
Thank you so much. I don't ever want to take the Bible out of context, and you're kind of my go-to guy, so I appreciate your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your kind words as well, Belinda. And yeah, for everybody listening in, our Lord deeply cares. Think about the fact that one day he lay prostrate in the pool of his own blood so that we could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. But the one who lay in blood also is the one who had the power to take up his life again. After he died, he rose from the dead, and he lives in earnest of our resurrection. As he lives, we too will live. For one day we will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then what once was possible with Adam and Eve, true, unviolated communion, will be again a potentiality for us. That is the hope of Christianity. And do remember that you have been left here as an ambassador to communicate that hope to others. That's why we ask people to support the Bible Answer Man broadcast, incidentally. It is because it is a means of communicating the truth to people who are ensnared in error. It is a means to equip people to always be ready to give an answer, to encourage them in their faith. So stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Remember, for your gift all this month, the Mormon Mirage sent out to you as our way of saying thank you. It's a flip chart, 4x6, laminated. You can order online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. We're out of here for today. We'll see you right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth in love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon?
And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.